Amen. You got two handouts tonight. I don't know about you, but it's easier when I see things rather than when I read them. And I like to see things. And first, we're going to cover the tabernacle and then the priestly garments. And you can always get on the internet and see the furniture and all those type of things. And hopefully, we're going to get Exodus 25 to 28 tonight. Just kind of read through them and see what these things are going to look like. Moses has been given the Ten Commandments and all the many laws and instructions by the Lord that were to be given to the nation of Israel. They're beginning in their journey to the Promised Land, and it will take 40 years due to disobedience. And God wants them to know He's in the midst of them and how they should be worshiping Him. And in Exodus, remember Exodus 24, verse 3, when they were told the law, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. We covered that last week. They got kind of emotional and just said, yeah, we're going to obey it all. And guess what? They didn't. That's why they wandered. They didn't obey the word of the Lord. The next seven chapters, and we'll go through a few tonight, deal with the instructions for building the tabernacle and all the things related to it. We'll read verse 1 through 9 first. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, and according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Now, where did they get all these nice, precious things? Remember, Egypt was so willing to let them go and get out because of the plagues that they gave them all this stuff, whatever they asked for. So God knew He was going to use all this stuff. And so they gave them a lot for their journey, and they had all these things. And so those first nine verses, the Lord, it tells us the Lord spoke and gave these instructions. And He said in verse 8, here's what I want you, the things I want you to use, and I want you to make me a sanctuary. The word means a sacred place. Make me a sacred place, a sanctuary, the tabernacle, to show the people that the Lord was among them and with them. Now we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and our temple is a body of the Holy Spirit. And we know the Lord is among us, but here they needed to see that God's presence was with them, and He wasn't going to forsake them. And He was giving them a place to meet with Jehovah, this sanctuary. Later on, it'll be the temple. You know, in later years, it'll be the temple where they offered sacrifice and all. And in verse 9, the Lord said, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. God says, now I'm the planner and I'm the architect of all of it, inside and out. Now we know God does good work. He says, you do it my way. You need to follow my plans, no changing them. I know when we had plans for the other building we were in, we'd have to change things. Or someone said, no, it's got to look like this. God says, this is it, and you don't change it. Now, why was that important? Because it's a pattern of the heavenly scene. So the tabernacle would be this portable tent-like structure, which they could take down, put back up in their journey, stay for a while, then take it down, bring it up to another place as the Lord moved. And it was an earthly pattern a copy of that perfect dwelling place of the believer in heaven. And it's firsthand that you can see the structure and dimensions of the tabernacle. And you can see, you know, near the back of it is the holy place and the holy of holies. And, you know, the outside is where they prepared the sacrifice and all, the open court area, the outer court. But there's where the tabernacle was, where they would meet with God and where these certain types of furnishings were in. And we're going to read about them. But then it was put the fence all the way around it and a place where they would have the burnt altar, prepare the sacrifice, so we could see the whole thing right here, and then they would go into that holy place. And then once you're the high priest, into the Holy of Holies, and that's what he's going to be talking about here. So we see God's saying, you do this work, and it's going to be done my way, and here's the materials you're going to use. Now that's good if someone planned everything for you, isn't it? And he's going to give, as we'll read in later chapters, people with the gifts and wisdom to actually know how to do this. Isn't that incredible? God, it's going to be all God's work, God's way of doing it. Let's turn to Acts 7, verse 44. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. And pay close attention, because next week there's going to be a test on these things. Acts 7, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. That's what we're studying about. As he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. He says, here's the way you make it, and you do it this way. And so they're rehearsing what happened in the Old Testament. Now I'll turn ahead to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. And the book of Hebrews covers a lot of these things. It shows how they're pointing to Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, today we only need to read the New Testament. Why get into the Old Testament? It isn't relative to today. Well, in the Old Testament is where they knew there was going to be a Messiah, the Lamb of God. People say, why is he called the Lamb of God? Well, read your Old Testament. Because that's what they sacrificed. It's very important that you would know the Old Testament. And tells us here, Hebrews 8, verse 1 to 5. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. This is speaking of the new covenant. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. So this is all speaking of Jesus. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who served in the Old Testament, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Make sure you do that, because that is a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Speaking of worship of God there, once we're there. Also, turn to Hebrews chapter 9 while we're there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, and which were the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, you can see it on your printout, the holiest of holies. In the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time, which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. They couldn't be made perfect the first time, but now we can through Jesus, and we are allowed to enter that holiest of place to visit with our Father. So that's what he's talking about here in these first nine verses. Now, again, in verse 2, when he says, speak to the children that they bring me an offering. They were to offer to the Lord. Who? From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. He says, now the people that you take it from are those that give it willingly from the heart, with his heart. See, man doesn't want to constrain people to give or say, we need all this money. It's up to the people whether they want to support God's work. And even then, he says, everyone who gives it willingly, you don't go around and force them to give. He says, they must give it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. Why? Because this whole thing has to be God's work. It can't be, well, we came up with this good plan to make more money, and it's working, and now we're going to build this. No, I'm going to tell you how to build it. I gave you the materials when you left Egypt. I'm going to tell you what to use for what. And you only take from people who are offering it up to me willingly from their heart. Why? So that it's all God's work. No one can say, well, I built this place. No, it's all God's work. And God does lay it on people's heart to support the Lord's work, and they're going to be blessed in heaven. Verse 10. And they shall make an ark. Now this speaks about making the ark of the covenant, which is going to be placed in that holy of holies. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. Now remember, it's 18 inches. A cubit is 18 inches, 1.5 feet. About 1.5 feet. So the size of the ark of the covenant is 3.75 feet long. That's not this gigantic thing. It's 3.75 feet, 2.25 feet wide, and 2.25 feet high. That's the Ark of the Covenant, which they have not found yet in current day. It was taken. No one knows where it is. We know you can't look in it or you die, or touch it and you die. We know that, of course, from Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, we know that from God's Word and from history, that it's still out there. And then he gives instructions, verse 11, about the ark. So he tells us how big to make it. Use acacia wood. It's a strong wood. And the instructions, you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and shall make it on it a molding of gold all around. That thing is heavy. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken away. And you shall put into the ark the testimony, the 10 commandments, which I will give you. So you can see they weren't to touch it, so they made rings on the front and on the back, 2 on each side, and poles to put in there and keep them there. And when they transport it, they had to do it by the poles so that they wouldn't touch it. And so now on top of the ark, there's going to be what we call a mercy seat. Verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim, these angelic beings of gold, of hammered work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim at 2 ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And they're attached. It's just all one piece hammered out. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. So you place the Ten Commandments in there, then you make a top for the ark to come on top of the ark. It's called a mercy seat. It's a lid on top of the ark, and they called it the mercy seat. And these 2 angelic beings, one on each side, with their wings touching each other. It represents God's mercy. We're coming and asking for mercy. And God, and verse 22, verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat. And then verse 22, there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. That's where you want to meet with God and speak with God, in front of the mercy seat. We're told in Hebrews, you know, come before his throne of grace in your time of need and receive mercy and grace. We're blessed. We don't have to be a high priest, and we don't have to wait till once a year. We can do that every minute of every day. Just approach God for mercy. I don't know about you, but I ask for mercy a lot. I like grace and mercy. And so he says, I'm going to meet with you there. That's where I'm going to meet with you. And the high priest, and he's going to relate to the people what God has to say. He says, I'm going to speak from you to you from the mercy seat. And we think of Jesus. This all relates to Jesus, how we now have mercy and grace. We have access to the Father through him. From between the 2 cherubim, which are on the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. That's where I'm going to speak, going to meet you, with you there. And now we get into the table of showbread. And if you look on your handout, you can see the table of showbread. You see where the tabernacle is, where the holy place is, and then to the right you see the table of showbread. That's one of the pieces of furniture that will be there. Verse 23, you shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width. Remember, its cubit is 18 inches, and 1.5 cubits its height. So that's how big it's going to be. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of a handbreadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold. Put the rings on the 4 corners that are on its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. Again, so you bear the table that way. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. What is the showbread? There will be 12 loaves that would be placed on this table of showbread because of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 breads placed in the sanctuary of the tabernacle every Sabbath. So it'd be changed out every Sabbath day. Put 12 new loaves in, one for each tribe. What was this symbolizing? God's presence there and provision for the people. It was symbolized. First, there was God's provision. They would go and get mercy from the holiest of holies. This all symbolizes what God has for them and for us today, that he will provide for us, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And they knew that, and that's why they were told to do it every Sabbath, to be reminded, well, God's going to provide for us new loaves of bread. Verses 31 to 39 is the lampstand. It was the only light in the tabernacle. Came from the golden lampstand. Verse 31, you shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. Can you imagine if you found all these things? Wow. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold, and a lampstand shall be of hammered wood. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. These guys were able to hammer that out and make it look so beautiful. And six branches shall come out of its sides. Three branches of the lampstand out on one side, three branches of the lampstand out on the other side. Three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. As I said, you can get a picture of these things off of the internet. But you get an idea what they look like here. On the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. Everything. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make these according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Now, Moses was given a great memory and wisdom because God told him all of this on the mountain. And he was able to relay it. I'd say it's a miracle. See, he was just God's spokesman. That's why God gave him the gift to do that. And so he makes that, announces that again. You have to make it according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. In other words, the guy couldn't just say, well, I think this looks a little better. No, you had to do it just like the Lord told Moses. See, and that was the only light in the tabernacle. Don't improvise. Now we get into chapter 26. We get into the tabernacle itself. And moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen in blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. You shall weave them. So this is what you're going to use for it. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits. The width of each curtain, 4 cubits. And of every one of the curtains, it shall have the same measurements. Five curtains shall be coupled to one another. You're going to couple them together. The other five curtains shall be coupled to one another. You shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the selvage of one set. And likewise, you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain for the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain, and that is on one end of the second set, and the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains together with the clasps so that it may be one tabernacle. The tabernacle is 45 feet long. It's 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. 45 feet long. You know, maybe from, I don't know, me to the first wall here. 15 feet and 15 feet. And so you get the first covering, in verses 1 to 6, and then in 7 to 13, we get the next covering, or 3 here. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tab. Over it, there's going to be this covering. Goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be this. In verse 9, the same thing about coupling them. And the same in verse 10 and 11. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasp into the loop and couple the tent together that it may be one. So, and the remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, because there are going to be some left over, and you put it over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and one on that side to cover it. So this thing is going to be covered. And you can see that in there, where the holy place starts, and in front and back, they're covered. So the third covering is verse 14. You shall also make a covering of ram's skin dyed red for the tent, a covering of badger skins above that. And so that was the third covering. Now the framework in verse 15. And for the tabernacle, you should make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. Now, acacia wood, we read all about them using this wood. It's a large, thorny tree with a rough bark, but an orange-brown wood. You can just picture that. I think we would call that mahogany or something, an orange-brown wood. And it was hard-grained, and here's the thing, it repelled insects. So that was nice. No insects around that place. And so that's why everything was made of this acacia wood, hard wood, beautiful color, and repelled insects. So the framework starting in verse 15. For the tabernacle, you should make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, which would be the 15 feet high. And a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. You shall make the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards for the south side, 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom. They shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side and of the tabernacle, 5 bars of for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars of for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. So there's a bar going right through the middle there. And you shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which were shown on the mountain. So you're going to raise it up. That's all the framework according to the pattern I gave you. Now he tells us in verse 31 here. You shall make a veil. Now we talk about the veil torn from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified. This is now talking about the veil. It was then, you know, put in the temple when the temple was built later on by Solomon. You shall make a veil. Here's the way it was, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and woven and fine woven linen. These things must have been beautiful. I can't imagine how beautiful this was, the colors and all. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there. Now, once you've got that all set, and on your handout, that would be the veil in front of that Holy of Holies right near the end. You know, that's where they are now. You shall bring the Ark of the Testimony, bring that Ark that you made with the Ten Commandments in it, in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. See, only that high priest could go in once a year to atone for the sin of the people. But now Jesus, it tells us, has provided a way for all of us to have access into the Holy of Holies. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, the cover of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil, as you can see. Here you can see those things outside of the veil, outside of the veil. You shall set the table outside the veil, the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze into them. So divided into two rooms, the most holy place, you know, the first place, the holy place that we see here, the holy place, you know, these things weren't very big. It was 30 feet by 15 feet. See, because only the priest there, and then only the high priest in the other part. The most holy place, the Holy of Holies, which was separated by the veil, is only 15 feet by 15 feet. So wasn't very big. But that's where God would meet with man. And in chapter 27, we get over the bronze altar of, we'll finish at verse chapter 27, the bronze altar of burnt offering. So if you look at your handout, it's the first thing when they come, and that's where they would sacrifice. As soon as you walk in, there's the altar. You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. So you make that. Bronze altar of burnt offering, priests would sacrifice on that altar. And you shall make its horns. Here's the way it would look. You shall make its horns on its four corners. Its horns shall be one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes. So there would be pans under there to receive its ashes. And why would it be like an altar we think of, which would be solid now? See, you could, you shall make pans that it would fall through, and the ashes would fall through, and its shovels and basins and its forks and its fire pans, you shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze, and on the network you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the networks may be midway up the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. The poles shall be put in the rings, the poles shall be on the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it is shown you on the mountain, so shall they make it. That's the way you are to make it. That's where you're going to sacrifice. Now, starting in verse 9, we cover the outer court. You see this whole big place that says outer court? That's what he's talking about now. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side, there shall be hangings for the court, made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Likewise, along the length of the north side, there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along with the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. On the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. For the gate on the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have 4 pillars and 4 sockets. And the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of silver. So that's this whole outside court we see here. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, made of fine woven linen and its sockets of bronze. So the outer court surrounded by the tabernacle, 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 7.5 feet high. The thing was 7.5 feet high, 150 feet long, 75 feet wide. The gate at the east end, 30 feet wide. Verse 19, all the utensils of the tabernacle for all its service, all its pegs and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil. You remember the lampstand? They shall bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. So they were to use, you know, today we have extra, we have virgin olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. This was pure, to be totally pure. Pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. So this light burned continually there all day long, all night long. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of their children. So Aaron and his sons would be the ones that would tend to this lampstand and keep the oil going day and night so that it would never burn out. So we see quite a few things, and I guess we'll continue next week. It starts covering, actually, next week, it's a good place to stop, because next week we start covering Aaron and the priestly family, and we get into that second handout, the garments which they wear. And having the handout really helps, because we don't dress like this today, so we don't know what some of these things mean, but we'll read that, and then we'll see what it looks like. So today, the first handout, we continue next week. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we have Jesus. We have such a simple approach to you now, Lord, because the price has been paid, the sacrifice has been made for our sin. Thank you for that. And as we prepare to pray now, guide our prayers. Let us pray with thankful hearts and expectant hearts, knowing that you hear our prayers. And Lord, we need mercy and grace. And as we pray today, please fulfill your will through our prayers and give us mercy and grace, not only for us, but on those we pray for. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.